You're listening to SBS News.
Despite increasing global population growth and development, forests continue to provide food, shelter, energy and medicine. The United Nations says between 200 and 350 million people live within or adjacent to forested areas around the world. The UN also recognises Indigenous communities for their traditional knowledge in maintaining forest ecosystems for millennia. After Australia's catastrophic black summer, the New South Wales Bushfire Inquiry heard that centuries of neglecting Indigenous fire practices was a contributor to the deadly blazes. Dr. James Fitzsimons is the Director of Conservation and Science with the Nature Conservancy. His organisation has partnered with Indigenous groups to protect landscapes around Australia.
We've been working for at least the last 15 years with Indigenous communities in helping them really restore fire regimes that would have been applied for tens of thousands of years. So basically applying small-scale fires, which basically prevents large fuel buildup and prevents late-season wildfires. And late-season wildfires are damaging for a range of reasons. They're much larger and hotter. They burn more area and they're more damaging to wildlife, to cultural values. But critically, they put a lot more greenhouse gases up into the atmosphere.
This engagement with Indigenous communities has helped them connect to country after centuries of dispossession. Dr. Fitzsimons says after the 2020 bushfires, it's critical that Australia's remaining forests are well protected.
The forests have had a large-scale disturbance with the Black Summer bushfires, and they're recovering, as we speak. It does highlight, the value of the remaining unburnt forests in terms of ensuring they're well managed, and threats like feral species, weeds, etc., are well managed, and also that wildlife are recovering in those areas and are stable in those areas to enable them to move back out into the rest of the forest once it starts regenerating.
Lee Anthony Hampton is an Aboriginal man based in Penrith in Sydney's west. He says traditional art has taught land management practices in Australia for thousands of years.
With Aboriginal ancestry, you know, our stories with traditional Aboriginal art, you know, they've been handed down for thousands of years. So these are things that are memories and learning from past to the next generation. And it's something that I think people can adapt to easier than if I stand in front of somebody and I say to them, if we don't do this and if we don't do that, then, you know, A, B and C is going to happen in the future. It falls on deaf ears for a lot of people, but you create a piece of art, then I think that makes people start to really think.
Mr. Hampton says his European and Aboriginal ancestry has allowed him to understand both sides of conservation practices. His grandparents were part of the Stolen Generations, and his journey to reconnect to country has been delicate.
I have no connection to where our mob's from. It's something that I've been on a long journey trying to find out, and knocked on a lot of doors, spoken to a lot of people. It's something that's very, very difficult.
Life-sustaining forests are not just limited to land either. Off the coast of Tasmania, researchers have discovered towering underwater forests are critically under threat. Dr. Kane Layton is a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Tasmania. He's moved to the island state to study kelp forests, which he says can grow as tall as a seven-story building.
In some ways, they remind me more of kind of an underwater jungle because the giant kelp is quite stringy. It's almost more reminiscent of a lot of like vines or lianas. So they're just really, really incredible environments. And again, you know, using that analogy to forests on land, you go for a walk through forests on land and the environment's different within the forest, right? It's darker, it might be cooler, the soil's more wet. And that's because the trees are changing the environment. And it's exactly the same in a kelp forest.
Once an iconic feature of the Tasmanian coastline, the underwater forests have declined by roughly 95% over the past several decades. The Australian government has listed giant kelp as an endangered marine community, the first such listing for a marine community in Australia. Dr. Layton says this is a direct result of warmer ocean temperatures.
So the East Australian Current, which is that current from Finding Nemo that the turtles surf on, that's a warm, nutrient-poor current. And with climate change getting stronger, it's bringing its warm, nutrient-poor water into Tassie more than it used to and displacing the water here that, you know, traditionally is cooler and nutrient-rich. And that cool, nutrient-rich water is really what giant kelp loves. So as our ocean temperatures are warming up, the giant kelp really suffer.
But his research team has identified some giant kelp which are tolerating the warmer currents. They've started breeding and planting them in a bid to rescue the dwindling forests. Dr. Layton says this solution is only temporary and that the main issue of climate change must be addressed to save the giant kelp.
Yeah, I mean, our research is very much about buying time for these giant kelp forests in Australia. The fundamental thing we have to solve is to reduce our carbon emissions. So that's obviously at the forefront for greater efforts on how to solve and save our kelp forests, our giant kelp forests.
Protecting forests on land and below the ocean's surface will be critical to humanity's survival on Earth. Amplifying Indigenous voices will go a long way in ensuring this protection is continued. Tysock Husey, SBS News.